Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. He gave them an opportunity for freedom. Hallelujah. He brought them across the Red Sea on what? Dry land. What a mighty God we serve who is able, hallelujah, to move the sea and the shores. Hallelujah. Who's able to give us freedom, to take us out of bondage. Whatever your bondage may be, the Lord our God is able to take you out of it. What a mighty, awesome God we serve. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, this morning we come to you asking you, Lord God, to keep those safe that are having to travel the highways and the byways. Father God, we're asking you to hide them in the cliff of your loving arms and in your wings, oh God. Keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Not let one person have a fatal accident this morning as they travel, Lord God. For many have to travel for work, oh God, and we're asking you to keep them safe from all hurt, all harm, all danger, seen and unseen, Father God. For you are in charge of our life. You are in charge of everything, Lord God. And we ask your protection. We ask you, Lord God, to continue the healing process of those that are sick and shut in. And we ask you, Lord God, to hide us in the cliff of the rock that we may be safe. Hallelujah, Lord God. I pray for the troopers out on the roads and the highways and the highway people, oh God. And the city workers having to clean up, I ask you to keep them safe. And, Lord God, I ask you to continue guiding us and leading us in love, in caring, in hope in a future. Lord God, we ask you to remove all hate and deceit from the hearts of those that profess to love you but hate their neighbors. Father God, we ask you to give us a heart of loving you with every part of our being, our heart, our mind, our spirit, and to love each other, Lord God. For your word tells us that we cannot say we love you and hate our neighbor. Lord, I ask you to, again, increase as I decrease, Father God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart, Father God, be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Father God, are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, I look up, giving you honor, giving you glory, and giving you hallelujah praise. For you are holy, righteous, and a great Father, and a mighty God. And in the name of the Son, I pray this prayer, believing and trusting you, Father God, that all things are working for my good and our good, because we put our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength, I asked God this morning, I was going to start the show actually early, and the Lord said, no, start on time, that he has me covered, because I do have to go to work today in some fairly bad weather, but I know that my daddy's got me covered. You know how God will give you favor, everything I need, he's already provided. So I'm thankful, and I'm grateful, and I'm blessed. So let's get started in our word this morning. As we know, we have now left Egypt in our Exodus word. They have gone through the Red Sea on what? Dry land. I got to say it again. That just does something to my spirit. Came through the Red Sea on dry land. And so now they are in the wilderness because God didn't want to take them through what would have been an 11-day trip to just go right on over. 11 days, they would have been where they need to be. But he knew that if they went that way, they would be in war with the Philistines, and they were not ready. He was trying to get them ready, face what they would have to face, which would be war, which would be taking over some land, which would be doing some things and being bold and courageous. But we already know the story, but we're going to read it again. Hallelujah. So let's get started this morning. Chapter 15 of Exodus, and it says, when Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Hallelujah. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoils. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You, in your mercy, have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia when the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab trembling will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them by the greatness of your arm. They will be as steel as a stone. Tell your people pass over, O Lord, tell the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. And that's our word for this morning. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Who is like the Lord, y'all? Nobody.
Come on now. Hallelujah. The Lord shall reign. I got to say it one more time. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh went with the chariots and his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Can I say it again? The children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. God will give you your dry land in the midst of the storm. Hallelujah. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with trembles with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." Ooh, hallelujah. Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Sir, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statue and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." And I know right now I'm praying to the Lord that heals us, to heal Pastor Paul, to heal Grace, and thank him for healing my granddaughter. Hallelujah. I'm grateful, thankful, and blessed this morning that God is in his highest house, that God is sitting on his throne, that God has taken us where we need to go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 16 of Exodus. And they journeyed from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you," as you know, we got to whine and complain, "for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At evening, you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?" Also Moses said, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses spoke to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints." Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaint of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay all around the camp. And when they lay, and when the layer of dew lifted there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. But I just got to go back up. And it says, and when the layer of dew lifted, and it goes on to tell us that in the morning the dew lay all around the camp, like the dew in the morning. Whew, hallelujah. Let it saturate your heart. Let it rain on you like the dew in the morning. God has given us morning dew. He has given us sustenance every day. You woke up this morning, clothed in your right mind. Hallelujah. And many with a bed to sleep in, clothes on your back, shoes on your feet, a warm home. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his goodness, like the dew in the morning. We got to ask God to rain on us. Hallelujah. Gave them sustenance. That's God. And it goes on to tell us, and Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. Notwithstanding, they did not eat. Always a hard head in every bunch. Whew. But some of them left part of it until morning, and the bread, and it bred worms. Ew. Which like maggots, I'm sure, and stank. And Moses was angry with them, so they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. You know, I always laugh. You know, my mom used to say, some folks don't think fat meat's greasy. So they obviously didn't think that when the Lord said to gather just what you need for today, that they could do what God said not to do, and they said, oh, huh. I'm making me a little extra, and I'm leaving this over. And what happened? A stinky, messy, bug-infested mess that they had to clean up because they was disobedient. And when we disobedient, we have a stinky, nasty mess that we got to clean up too. Hallelujah. And it goes on to tell us, and on it, so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some other people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my law? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called its name manna. And it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. You know, I always think about honey grams, you know, that it may taste like graham crackers or some honey taste that you just can't put your finger on, but it's just so good. Woo, making me want something sweet, but I'm on a fast from sweets right now. So I'm just going to say, think about it and let it go. Hallelujah. Then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer manner in it and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations, as the Lord commanded Moses. So Aaron laid up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an uninhabited land. They ate manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is one-tenth of an ephah. What a word. And we'll do life lessons, questions, and all those things at the end of all of our scripture this morning. Psalms 18:20-27. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. Hallelujah. You got to keep the ways of the Lord, and you got to say, please forgive me if you have hurt anyone. So I say this morning, I ask forgiveness for anyone that I have hurt in words, in thought, or in deeds. Please forgive me. We got to ask forgiveness and mean it from our heart. Not if I, but please forgive me. For we know our mouths can go away and run. So we got to ask forgiveness. So I ask forgiveness for anyone if I have hurt you in any way. Please forgive me. If I have said anything to offend you, please forgive me. And I'm sure I have said some things that have offended some people. But I ask forgiveness because the bottom line is we don't want anybody to fall or falter because of something we said or something we did or words, because words can hurt. And you may not even know you hurt someone by what you said. So I say, forgive me, please. And that's what the Word of God tells us. We got to humble ourselves. And as the psalmist said, for I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I'm not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With blameless man, you shall show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, God even got the devious in there. You will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down the haughty looks. We got to be careful how we act, because we reflect our Father. You know, we tell our children, don't be going out there acting ugly, because don't you make this family look bad. You go out there and you act like you got some sense. You know, when you go to the grocery store, don't you fall out asking for stuff, because the answer is what? No. So don't ask. You know, we always had our little speeches. Before you get out of this car, you better act right, because you reflect on your father. You reflect on your mama. You reflect on your family. Don't go out there being fast-tailed. That's what, you know, used to be tell girls back in the day. Don't you dare. Don't you go out there acting wrong. Don't you let them out, we going to such and such's house. You ought to be seen and not heard. And don't you try getting in no grown folk conversation. Come on now. We were taught, you keep your mouth shut. When you are in the presence of grown people as a child, you kept your mouth shut.
And if somebody offered you anything, your answer was, no, thank you. No, thank you. Because you're making it look like I don't feed you. Come on now. You know, I grew up in the South, and they didn't play. The answer is no, thank you. And folks, you don't want to offend anybody, but that's the way most of us were taught. If you grew up in the South, you were taught to say no, thank you. And if you looked at your mom and they gave you a nod, then you could say yes, please. But if they didn't give you the nod, your answer was no, thank you. Come on now. Proverbs 6, chapters, verses 12 through 15. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. Bam. God, everything you need to know is in the Proverbs. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continuously. He sows discord. Come on now. Ooh, and that's the one thing you don't want to sow anywhere. It's discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. God will humble you. He will tear up some stuff to get your attention. Don't be covetous. Don't be haughty. Don't think you got it going on because of fill in the blank. Because understand that every of you got, God can take it away. Come on now. God does not what play. He don't play. Take this with every part of you. Treat each other right. Because God does not play. You will get and receive what you give out. And if you give out crazy discord, you're going to receive crazy discord. If you give out hate speak, you're going to get hate speak. If you give out love, you're going to get love. Because that's what God does. He loves us. And he cares about each of us. Keep loving God as he loves you. Hallelujah. For he is love. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I ever did. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 21. And it says this, now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? And I'm sure Jesus gave them the side eye. As to say, y'all done seen everything I've done. Some of you was with me when John baptized me and the heavens opened. And the voice of my father came down and said, this is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. Come on now. But now you're going to ask me, by whose authority do I do what I do? Come on now. But then it says, but Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing. Which of you tell me? I likewise will tell you. By what authority I do these things? Oops. The baptism of John, where was it? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe them? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus and said, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he regretted it and went. When he came to the second and said, likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in a way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterwards relent and believe him. Here's another parable. You know, Jesus spoke always in parables. He did, because he wanted you to think. Think what I'm saying. You know, I always think what Chris Tucker said, can you hear the words coming out? Can you understand the words coming out of my mouth? Jesus wanted them to understand what he had to say. because I want to go back to the first parable. He said, a man had two sons and came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterwards, he regretted it and went. He went and honored his father's request. Even though he may have said no, but he went because God convicted him, had conviction. And it said, and when he came to the second, it said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, but he did not go. So one answered and said, I ain't going, but he actually went and did the work. The other one said, yes, I will, but didn't do the work. So one was, they both were like, said, I'm not going to do something. But one got convicted and did what he was supposed to do, and the other one gave the lip service but didn't do the work. And that's what we got to be careful of doing, giving the lip service and not doing the work. Because when we say we got to go to work, we got to go to work for God. When you say, I'm going to be an evangelist, I'm going to be a teacher, I'm going to be a preacher, I'm going to be a pastor, I'm going to be an apostle, I'm a prophetess. You're a prophetess, but don't prophesy. You are evangelist, but don't evangelize. You are preacher, teacher, but you don't preach or teach. You're a pastor, but you have no flock. And you have no ministry that you work over or over. You're just a pastor in name only. So in other words, you're saying you are doing the work, but you really are not. You know, when we say we're going to do what we're going to do for God, you got to do it. You can't just talk it. You got to walk it. Because God is watching everything we say, and he's expecting us to do what we say we will do, because that's what we do for God. Because what did the word tell us for today? Our title for this morning, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. And God is reigning forever and ever. And understanding, he is documenting everything about us, everything we say and everything we do. And do we repent and do what we're supposed to do? As Jesus told him, you had every opportunity to follow after John, to believe John, to be saved, to be set free, to be baptized. You know, all these things. What did he tell them? Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. Tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterwards relent and believe him. The oldest son, who said he would do it, when he saw his brother doing what he said he wouldn't do and doing the right thing, he still didn't go and do the job. Jesus didn't say he didn't do the job. He said, I'm doing it. In other words, I'm going to suck up, but I'm not going to do the work. We got to go to work. And then it goes on, this next parable is one that just did something to my spirit, because it's about thievery is what it is, thievery and murder. And this is what it says here, another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they may receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servant, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said amongst themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on the stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parable, they perceived that he was speaking of them. And when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. That's a word. Shoe fitting, and they was not wanting to wear it, but the shoe was fitting because they did not do right. They preached a big game, created all kind of laws and statutes. And no, I didn't say God created. I said they created a whole bunch of statutes and laws that didn't have anything to do with God. They was, because they had power, they were lording it over people. We're going to do what, this is what I want done. This is what I, and not what thus says the Lord. We got to do what God says do. We got to do what God says do. Because we love God. We've got to do it to help others. God is watching everything we do. And he wants us to be the best us we can be for his glory. For someone to see you every day and see how you act and how you treat others. And they will want to be God-fearing men and women like you. Let folks see the Jesus in you. You know, there was a song I remember, the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. And that's what we got to have, the Jesus in us seeing each other so that our lights are shining even brighter. Because if you have the Jesus in you, the Jesus in me, the Jesus in my mother, the Jesus in my pastor, the Jesus in my sisters and brothers, the Jesus in all of us, and just imagine if all of us have Jesus in us, what kind of light will shine on darkness. We've got to let our light shine. As the kids sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We got to let our light shine for the Lord. For the Lord shall reign forever and ever. And I want to be at his feet forever and ever. I want to make it in. And I pray you want to make it in too. And these are some life lessons from Exodus this morning. And the first is this in Exodus 15:18. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. And that's the title of my lesson today. We can find great comfort during times of difficulty. This is what Dr. Stanley tells us. In knowing that God has promised that he was, is, and always will be in control. Not only over world events, but also over all events in our own lives. Hallelujah. Thanking God for saving my life. Thanking God for giving me a do-over. He woke me up this morning. He woke you up this morning. You have an opportunity to do over, to be better today than you were yesterday, to work harder today than you did yesterday, to move forward today in excellence because you know that God gave you another chance, another opportunity to be better. Exodus 15, verses 22, 23, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Immediately after the miraculous triumph at the Red Sea, God led Israel for 3 days on a route devoid of water. Why? The Lord trains us to trust him by letting us experience both need and abundance. Come on now. Been in the abundance, been in the need, and knowing that God brought both.
And I'm grateful for the need, because then you understand when you get abundance that you were blessed and that God gave it to you. So many times folks get and they forget who got them. What does it say? They go to the dance, but dance with everybody and forget who brought them there. You know, come on now. We got to remember who brought us to the dance, who gave us whatever it is you have, whether it's a little or a lot. That little, God gave it to you. That lot, God gave it to you. That whatever you need, God gave it to you. And all I can say is thank you, Father God, for the greatness of your mercy. Thank you, Father God, for loving us, for caring about us, for giving us everything we need and more than we could ever ask for. Hallelujah. What did the word say in the wilderness? What did God give them? It said, let no one leave it till the morning. But I love this word. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. Hallelujah. If you went out there and you were like, well, I'm going to get as much as I can. So you gather, you get a whole bunch because you want more. I want to get more than they, when they said to get one Omar for everybody in your tent. And you buy in your tent by yourself, but you're going to try to gather as much as somebody who's got 10 in his tent. But what happened? You get all of this, and all you got was what you need. And the one that maybe just gathered enough, and maybe they couldn't get as much as the person that was getting more. But when they got it all to their pen and made their bread, they had enough to fill them up. Just what you need, God will provide. And what it boils down to is we got to have faith. We got to have faith that God will provide what we need. Just a small testimony, as many know, you know, not going to go there because I'm grateful. But I had a car accident. I'm in a rental car. I was in a van up until yesterday, and I called because God put it on my heart to call on Monday to see if I could get a four-wheel drive because I have to drive out of town for work. And didn't want to take a chance in a rental car and not knowing how it would work on an interstate, especially one that's full of snow and ice and whatever's going on. And so I asked God, I said, Lord, should I do this? And God said, call. And I called and they said, we'll work on it. The next morning, yesterday morning, I get a call right after we get finished that they had a four-wheel drive vehicle for me. So God is giving me favor, and I'm thankful. You know, you have to ask God for what you need. But the issue is this. You have to ask God first, your will. And that's how I left it. Your will, Lord. If they got it, then I know it'll be mine. And if it's not available, then I know you will still be with me in this van. And he was with me all day. And he got me what I needed for today. So I say, when you say we got to go to work, we got to first ask God, what work am I supposed to do? Because as we have said many times, many are called, but few are chosen. And God will choose you. He will call you and he will choose you. But you got to say, Lord, where do I fit in? What do you want me to do? And I guarantee you, when it's time to go to work, he will give you just what you need. Ooh, hallelujah. And as we finish up this Exodus word, some more life lessons. And then we're going to do questions at the end today. And the life lesson for Exodus 16 and 4 says this. The people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. So many things in our life are a test. The Lord provides regular tests to see whether we will obey him, whether we fully understand the reasons for his commandments or not. But obedience always brings blessing. Hallelujah. Pray. Pray and pray some more. God to guide you. Ask God to lead you. Ask God to show you the way to go. Hallelujah. Speak to God today. And in Exodus 16 and 8, your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. Moses had to get them straight. And so many times, pastors have got to get you straight, because your complaints against your pastor may be complaining against the Lord, because they are used by God. So that's why you need to keep your mouth off of folks. And when you do, repent. When we complain about our circumstances and blame others, come on now. In fact, we're complaining against the Lord, who exercises complete control over our circumstances. Be careful what you whine and complain about. Oh, it's taking so long. Why that, you know, why this, why that? Shut up. Say thank you, Lord. Because sometimes delay is better for you, because God is just getting what you need put in place. You know, I was like, okay, guys, I keep getting asked, well, when are you going to get another car? I don't know. I done put it in God's hands, and that's where I'm leaving it. That's what we have to do, put it in God's hands and leave it there. Because I know that whatever I need, God is already putting it in place. Whatever it is, I'm going to accept God's will. Hallelujah. This word is for me. I don't know if it's for you, but I know it's for me. To quit, don't complain. Wait on the Lord. He will provide you bread in the morning and meat at night. Hallelujah. Whatever you need, he will provide fresh water in the bitterness. God will take care of you. What did our word say today? The Lord shall reign forever and ever. And if the Lord is reigning forever and ever, then don't you think he's going to take care of you? Hallelujah. The Lord is, ain't no ifs, buts, or does about it. The Lord will, the Lord can, and the Lord shall reign forever and ever. Thanks be the greatness of our God. Whew, what a last word for today is this. Answers to life's questions. Can I really trust God to provide what I need? I'm going to raise my hand big time. I'm waving this morning. Yes, you can. But this is what Dr. Stanley says. From cover to cover, the Bible is full of God's promises to provide needs. Our Heavenly Father always gives, always loves, always remains generous toward his children. In the first few chapters of Genesis, the Lord gives the first man and woman a perfect garden. In Revelations, we read about our ultimate home, a perfect and eternal heaven. In all the books between, we read how God delights in blessing his people. At the very outset of the New Testament, we read how God sent his son, Jesus Christ, as his ultimate gift of blessings to provide what we need, most of all, forgiveness of sin and restore fellowship with God. Hallelujah. When you limit yourself to your own ability and resources, you run out of both commodities very quickly. Been there, done that. Got the I don't have t-shirt. I'm just speaking for me. I can't speak for anybody else. And I had to repent. And I had to give everything to God. Myself, my children, my home, everything belongs to God. And grateful for the faith that God has given me, because I realized that I needed to have faith. Because so many times we get into that mode of having to take care of ourselves. Like, if nobody's going to take care of me but me. But we got to learn that who takes care of you is God. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. It says, and when you limit yourself to your own ability and resources, again, you run out of both commodities very quickly. But when you focus your faith on what God can do for you, you discover an
infinite supply that cannot be measured or depleted. God's resources are 100% inflation-proof and recession-proof. Can we say together, hallelujah? The very nature of God gives you assurance of his abundant provision. God is omnipotent. The Lord knows your need. He knows it even better than you do and before you do. Matthew 6 and 8. And when we go over to Matthew 6 and 8, I get filled up when I just think about the goodness of God. I just can't help myself because I've been there. Hallelujah. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace and your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness and your forgiving spirit. And when we go to Matthew 6 and 8, it says this, don't be like them because your Father knows the things you need before you ask. Ooh, and when we go back and get this word in context, it says this, how to pray. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Whew. And then the Lord tells us, don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Omnipotent. The Lord has all power to supply to you whatever you need. And we're going to go over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it tells us, you know, and my God, come on, y'all, we all know this scripture, but I want to read it. And it says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Ooh. And then as we go to verse 20, again, right there with our title. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Why? Because he is forever and ever. And when we understand that, everything else falls into place. When we know that our Father is forever and ever, that he will not leave us and he will not forsake us. He will be with us forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God today. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him above all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Whoo, hallelujah. And God is omnipresent. So he's omnipotent. He's omnipotent, and he's omnipresent. The Lord is at work even now to meet your needs. And we're going to go to Psalms chapter 34, verse 7 and 8. And it says this, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Taste and see. Ooh, I love this word. That the Lord is good. How happy is a person who takes refuge in him. Are you taking refuge in the Lord today? And as we finish up this word, it says, not only do you have the character of God as you assured that he is going to provide for you, but you also have the testimony of God's past performance in providing for his people. The scriptures repeatedly point to him as faithful, as a faithful source of life. Consider just a few examples from the book of Exodus. He made a way for his people to cross the Red Sea and find deliverance from their enemies. He provided manna for the people to eat in the wilderness. He caused water to gush forth from a rock to quench the people's thirst. He gave his commandments to his people even when they lacked moral fiber. He healed his people when poisonous snakes struck them. As the Israelites left behind the only home they had ever known in Egypt, God provided for all their needs. He provided for their protection, their basic physical necessities, food and water, spiritual grounding, and healing. He does the same for us today. And that is our word for this morning. And as we get ready to wrap it up, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, from this morning's Carolyn's Gift. And the word for today is this: God blesses our days, whew, thank you, Jesus, as we live our life for him. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. I have got to go to work, so I thank you all for listening in this morning. Thank you, and as we pray our prayer, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and safe and glorious day. If you don't have to go out, for those that are in the Midwest, stay in. Even the state of Illinois is closing early today, and they are not even working on tomorrow. So if you do not have to go out, stay in. And be safe. And I pray that God keeps everything running in your homes, that you have no issues, and that all things are working for your good, that you have all the stuff that you need. Because why? Our Father God is a provider, and he will provide all that you need and more than you could ever want. Be blessed and have a great and wonderful day. Love you all. Be safe. In Jesus' name. We pray, believing and trusting that our Father has it all in his hands. And I say to you this morning, it's a wrap. Why? Because we're willing, ready, available, and presently praying for each and every one of you. Be blessed. It's a wrap.